This is a podfic of Death Wish Love by Booknobs and Broomsticks. Yes, what we do in the shadows fic. The relationship is Anton and Viago. The rating is explicit. No archive warnings apply. And the original summary. Nathan M. is getting married and the lads think Anton needs a date to the wedding. It's a good thing he's got his new friend Viago looking out for him. Chapter 1. Anton? Yeah, mate? Is everything alright? Because, yeah, okay. Anton is standing with his forehead pressed to the fridge door, eyes closed, and doing his breathing. But he just needed a minute, okay? Not that he was in danger of wolfing out or anything, but the lads had been on his case all week, and his usual truckloads of patience notwithstanding, he was almost at his limit. He pushes away from the fridge a little reluctantly and turns to Viago. The two of them have become surprisingly close these past couple of months since Stu was turned. Or, well, close for a werewolf and a vampire, anyway. The two of them tend to gravitate towards each other at these get-togethers, perhaps born of the fact that he's an alpha and Viago is kind of the unofficial head of the vampire house. He's the one it usually falls to get them organised, set ground rules or dish out discipline. They've spent a fair few evenings lamenting over the challenges that brings. Yeah, everything's fine, mate, Anton says with a sigh. Not very convincing. Clearly Viago doesn't think so either with the way he purses his lips disapprovingly. Everything does not look fine, he says. Anton sighs again, twists to lean back against the counter. The lads have just been a lot this week, you know. I do not know. Tell me. Nathan M. got engaged to his girlfriend last weekend, Anton starts. The stupid idiot had knocked her up, and now they were rushing through this before she started to show. She didn't even know. Had no idea what she was getting into. So obviously everyone's all hyped up about the wedding and, well... Frick, why was this so humiliating? They seem to think it's important that I have a date for this wedding and are bloody determined to set me up. He says this last bit in a rush, like it's not so embarrassing if he says it quickly. Swearwolf, Viago smirks at him. Yeah, yeah. I take it you do not wish to be set up? No, I do not, Anton said flatly. He's been there, done that, was married right out of uni for all of about 5 minutes. They'd been high school sweethearts. She even stuck with him after he was bitten, at first at least. Was super supportive. Thought the whole thing was exciting and a bit sexy. Then Anton had woken from a bad dream one night, eyes glowing, teeth sharp and claws at the end of his fingers. The bedsheets had been shredded around him. And that was the end of that. You don't wish for love? Viago asks softly. Sounds a bit sad about it too. It's not that simple, is it? He tries to explain. There's the wolf thing, and the pack, and then me being alpha on top of that. It's not... I just don't really have time. All right, yeah, that sounds like the lamest excuse ever. Viago clearly thinks so too from the look on his face, but Anton can't say it, the real reason. That he's a monster. He's not safe.
Can't you tell them you are already seeing someone?
Yeah, tried that already, because he has. Tried to tell them he'd been chatting with a girl online up in Tauranga. But then the lads decided they all quite fancied a bit of a trip, some time at the beach. Think they'd only believe it if they saw it with their own eyes.
Oh, then it is quite simple, Viago declares, grinning so widely his fangs are peeking out.
It is? Anton's lost.
Yes, I'll do it.
Anton blinks. Do what, mate?
I shall pretend to court you, silly.
You...
It still takes Anton a hot minute to work out what exactly the vampire is suggesting. Oh! He cries as the penny drops. Oh, B, thanks, but... Well, I don't think... It's just... I'm straight. It's Viago's turn to look perplexed. I like girls. Women, I mean, he clarifies. Then, when Viago continues to look baffled, he adds, exclusively. Oh, Viago says, though he still looks confused. Are you sure? Pretty sure, yeah, mate, Anton says. I am sorry, Anton, Viago offers solemnly. I didn't think people were still using those labels. I thought everything was considered much more fluid now. Well, yeah, Anton reassures him, because he might be straight, but he's not a bigot. Love is love, or whatever, but people still have their preferences. And your preference is women? Yeah, mate, Anton says, a little apologetically, because Viago is still looking a little wrong-footed. Right, he says, not looking entirely convinced. What the fudge? Well, the offer stands if you change your mind, Viago tries to say with his usual levels of chippiness. Doesn't quite pull it off. Now that Catherine has gone, he starts, then tails off as his voice thickens swiftly. Yeah, that's still a sore spot. The love of Viago's life, the woman he'd travelled around the world for, waited decades for, had taken off one night. Left only a note explaining that she wanted to make the most of her immortality, not settle down and live an afterlife of modernity. Ouch. Thanks, V. You're a good friend, Antoine says, reaching out to give the vamp a reassuring little squeeze on the shoulder. His smile lights up again in response. Anton grabs another beer from the fridge and heads back into the sitting room, to be immediately bombarded with Dion shouting, Oh, hey, Anton, I just remembered I've got this cousin, Trina. Anton doesn't listen to the rest. He knows this Trina, and she's half his bloody age. He's probably actually old enough to be her father. He kicks Clifton off the love seat to give himself somewhere to sit, firmly ignoring Dion's bloody monologue about why this teenage, probably, girl would be perfect for him. He gives Declan the boot too when Viago comes back into the room, clutching a wine glass full of blood, and the vampire comes to sit next to him, looking pleased at this turn of events. Dion waffles on and on and on, supported by various declarations of support from the rest of the pack, and Anton can feel his wolf growing restless, can feel his patience wearing dangerously thin. His breaths are growing so heavy there's almost a growl behind them. So I'll give her your number, yeah? Dion finishes. No, I don't want you to give her my bloody number, Anton shouts, and the pack collectively flinch. One of them mutters, Swearwolves, under his breath, but Anton's too furious to tell who. He's nearly snarling with rage. Was just trying to help, Dion grumbles, and the rest of the pack seem to take that as permission to add their own voices. What about the wedding? We just want you to be happy. Who are you going to bring? Have you already got a date? I don't need a bloody date. I don't want a bloody date. I don't need you lot to set me up. But Anton... I'm dating Viago, all right? He bellows, and the room falls into icy, shocked silence. No one is more shocked than himself. Ha, yeah, right, Clifton scoffs. Pull the other one. It is true, Viago chimes in, practically wriggling with glee. We are very happy together. Viago, Vladislav shouts. What is the mutt saying? Surely even you would not stoop so low. Anton's snarl is one of many immediately directed in Vladislav's direction, but he's almost instantly distracted by the venomous hiss that Viago shoots at his housemaid. We are very happy, Viago says again, much more firmly, and then reaches over to twine his fingers with Anton's. Their joined hands rest on his thigh, Viago's long, elegant fingers interwoven with his own shorter, thicker, freckle-covered ones. The silence that follows is thick, heavy and oppressive. Anton swallows. Nathan G. is the one to finally break it. I thought you were straight, he murmurs, looking so dejected it's as if Anton has physically wounded him by keeping this secret. And, all right, immediate history notwithstanding, Anton hates lying to the pack. He does. It's a big thing for him. How can they keep each other safe? How can he look after them if they're not honest with each other? So, he doesn't lie. So did I, mate, he says softly, to a slightly hesitant round of chuckling. You two are really, you know, Dion asks. Yep, Anton says with a little tiny bit of a sigh. And it's not technically a lie, because Dion didn't actually finish the question. Could have been asking, you two are really friends? Or, you two are really having us on? How's Anton meant to know? I think that's really nice, Stu offers. Congrats, you guys. Thank you, Stu. Viago beams, fangs poking out and everything, like Stu's appraisal is the best thing he could have asked for. Oh, shit, Nathan M. exclaims to a chorus of, swear wolves. We'll have to make sure the wedding is at night then, so you can come along too, Viago. And, you know, the rest of you guys, he adds, gesturing at the other vampires, if you want. And Viago's there again, cutting in before Anton even has a chance to process, before he has a chance to formulate a response. That would be lovely, thank you, Nathan, if it is not too much trouble. It is so long since I have attended a wedding. He smiles all sort of wistfully, then, and turns to look at Anton with huge shining eyes. Won't that be wonderful, Liebling? He says it so softly, as if it's just for him, for the two of them, instead of being some stupid performance. And it must be all the lying, or all the eyes on them, or freaking anxiety or something, because Anton feels all hot, and his chest feels tight, and his throat is all closing up. Yeah, sounds great, babe, he manages to get out, all breathy and raspy as it may be. Viago's eyes widened impossibly at the endearment, and he just bloody lights up. Looks like he couldn't be happier. Like going on some fake date with Anton is the best thing he could have ever hoped for. What the fudge has he got himself into? End of chapter. Death, Wish, Love by Booknobs and Broomsticks. Chapter 2. Anton's not quite sure how it happens, but somehow, on top of his work and life and all his usual alpha responsibilities, he finds himself in full wedding planner mode. Nathan M. had proven himself to be bloody useless, and his girlfriend, fiancé, whatever, was not much better. So, whilst she was having a full-on temper tantrum about the fact they'd have to keep the wedding quite small, and no, she couldn't book Wallaceville House, and no, she couldn't have a bloody Cinderella carriage either, Anton had ended up planning the wedding they actually could afford, at short notice, with a pack of werewolves and a bunch of vampires in attendance. A simple garden ceremony was basically the only thing they could afford, actually. Anton's garden, specifically. Seeing as he was the only one with a space large enough that was even remotely wedding-ready. They'd gone to look at the bride's parents' garden, but no matter how much he hated this whole thing, he wasn't about to let one of his pack get married on a neglected square of patchy brown grass with an inflatable hot tub and a chain-link fence. So, yeah, now he's drowning a little bit under guest lists and permit applications and meal planning and bloody bridesmaids' dresses, and wondering, not for the first time, why the bloody universe had picked him for all of this. Was there really no one else who would have made a better alpha? Anton's vaguely aware of his front door opening and closing. He sniffs the air. Hey, Stu, he calls down the hall. Hey, Anton, Stu replies, appearing in the doorway to the living room and taking in the sight of Anton surrounded by bits of paper. Still at it? He asks sympathetically. It never bloody ends, mate. Anton groans, rubbing his face and waiting for the usual admonishment for his language. Doesn't come, though, and when he looks back up at Stu, where he's hovering behind the sofa looking down over all Anton's chaos, he just says, "Why don't you let me help?" "Ah, mate, I wouldn't do that to you." "I don't mind," Stu shrugs. "Why don't you go and spend some time with Viago? You can't have seen much of each other these past few weeks." Oh, yeah, Anton stammers, because no, he hasn't seen the vampire for nearly a fortnight now, what with the full moon and everything, but it's not a big deal the way Stu thinks it might be. If anything, it's a little intentional. Anton keeps thinking back to that night, the way that Viago had looked at him, the way that he'd gradually leaned closer as the night drew on until their arms and thighs had been pressed close. And yeah, the way all eyes had been on them when the pack had finally made their way to the door at the end of the night, everyone watching, whilst carefully trying to make like they weren't watching, until Viago had shown some initiative and leaned in with a quick hug goodnight, his cool cheek pressed to Anton's overheated one. The others had averted their eyes then, at least. And he knows he made himself clear that Viago understands he's not into blokes. But he also knows Viago is a bit of a hopeless romantic and can carry a torch for decades. He just doesn't want to hurt him, is all. He likes Viago. Likes talking to him when they hang out. Wants to keep him as a friend. But getting mixed up romantically with a werewolf, an alpha at that, would be a fast-track pass to getting hurt. It's Nick that answers the door this time, when Anton knocks. Barely glances up from his mobile to see who it is before he turns and strolls back into the house. "Oi, Viago, your boyfriend's here," he calls out, and Anton recoils. He doesn't think anyone notices, but he can't help the physical response to that word. Yeah, he really can't do this. Deacon's in the sitting room, knitting something a bit garish and glaring suspiciously over his needles at Anton as he hovers nervously in the doorway. "Anton!" Viago calls fondly from down the hall. "What a lovely surprise." "Ah, hey, mate," Anton replies. "I had not thought to see you tonight. You have been so busy." "Yes, do offer to help out a bit tonight, so we could..." He darts a glance at Deacon, who is still watching them through narrowed eyes. "Could spend some time together?" It sort of comes out like a question, but Viago doesn't seem to notice. Just keeps smiling in that sort of sweet, fond way he has. "Oh, Stu is just wonderful, isn't he? You hear that, Deacon?" "Yes, Stu is great. Is he coming too?" Deacon leans to look past Anton as though Stu might appear in the hallway too. "Nah, it's just me tonight. Sorry, mate." Deacon grunts in disappointment and goes back to his knitting. "So, what did you have in mind?" Viago asks, and Anton is stumped. "Should have thought this through. What the hell do you do with your fake vampire boyfriend on a fake date? The cinema? Too intimate. Dinner? Viago doesn't eat. Bowling? Nah, the lads would kill him if he went without them." "We could, I mean, would you, maybe, like to take a walk?" he says, and it doesn't escape him that he's stammering like a teenage boy asking out a girl for the first time. He's even blushing too in the face of Viago's encouraging little smile. "That sounds lovely," he sighs wistfully. "I don't know if this is gonna work, mate," Anton says as they round the corner onto the next street about 15 minutes later. "I mean, I really appreciate it, I do, I don't think I'll be able to convince anyone this is real." "What do you mean?" Viago frowns at him. "I don't know how to act in a relationship with another bloke." "Ooh," Viago grins like that's nothing. "Well, what are you normally like with your lovers?" Anton chokes on absolutely nothing. "What?" "I mean," Viago clarifies, a little smirk tugging at the corner of his mouth and a glint in his eyes. "How do you normally behave with your partners?"
Well, I don't know, mate. I mean, all werewolves are usually pretty tactile. Sort of touchy-feely, I guess. Something about the wolves and bonding or something, probably." Viago nods.
"And are you like that with romantic partners, too?"
"Yeah, I guess. It's been a while, honestly," he mutters, tries to be dismissive about it like it's not a big deal, and he has no idea how long it's been. 3 years, 7 months, and 12 days. And you do not think you could behave like this with me? Iago asks, sounding uncertain. I never have, with a bloke, you know? Would it make you uncomfortable to be tactile with me? Anton stammers, his heart's rabbiting away in his chest. But it was before, right? Just the nerves about having this conversation. What about this? Iago asks as he slides his fingers against Anton's palm, curls them into the spaces between his own. Is this okay? Perfect. The word leaks out of him on a breath before he's even had a chance to form it in his head. Yeah, he rushes to clarify. I think I could manage this. Iago hums. And this? He tugs gently on Anton's hand, pulling him to a stop and turning him in so that they're facing each other. Then Viago's reaching up with his other hand, cool, soft fingers brushing back an errant curl of his hair and trailing down to the stubbled line of his jaw. His thumb swipes Anton's cheek, so, so gently, and Anton has to bite back a whine. The kind of sound he's not made in human or wolf form for years. He turns into the touch, apparently powerless to resist. It's been so long since someone touched him like this. He must be more touch-starved than he thought, for this sort of touch, anyway. See, this is not so difficult, is it, little wolf? Iago murmurs. And Anton wants to reply, wants to admonish him for the little of it all, but he can't seem to get any words out, not with Iago's fingertips against his pulse and his thumb scuffing through his stubble. He pulls back, clearing his throat for good measure. It's not just the touch stuff. There's a bunch of the more negative wolf stuff, too. You can get pretty possessive, a bit territorial, you know, too overprotective. Viago's eyes flare a bit at that, and Anton can't blame him. It's toxic, is what it is. It has been many years since anyone has tried to protect me, Viago says softly. I do not think I would mind so much. Oh. Right. Anton manages to get out. Doesn't really know what else to say to that. He could offer reassurance. Confirm for Viago that of course he'd protect him. He'd protect any of his friends. That being Anton's friend is tantamount to being part of the pack. But he knows that's not the same. That the kind of overprotective Anton can get is nothing like looking out for a friend. It's too much. Smothering. Monstrous. You do not wish to do this, Anton, then of course we shall put an end to it. But if you wish to continue, I need you to know you can trust me. I will help you, and I shall not push you further than you are comfortable with. And he looks so blinking earnest is the thing, like he just really wants to be a good friend, and doing this favour for Anton would make him really, really happy. So Anton can only really respond with, yeah. Thanks, mate. When Anton gets home later that night, Stu has arranged all of his research and planning into a spreadsheet that he's left open on the laptop. It's even got a big everything checklist at the front, so Anton knows exactly where he is with each job, room for the date, and a link to the relevant document or email or webpage. And yeah, Anton strayed, but he might just be a little bit in love with Stu right now. End of chapter. Death, Wish, Love by Book Knobs and Broomsticks. Chapter 3. If Anton makes it through the evening without incident, it'll be a bloody miracle. And it won't even be the lad's fault this time, just him. Because he is struggling. They're back at the bride-to-be's parents' house, all gathered on their dead lawn for some kind of impromptu engagement party, despite the fact that the wedding is only a few weeks away. It's just an excuse for a bit of a piss-up, though, clearly. Buckets full of ice and beers all over, and the father of the bride is at the grill cooking up more meat than a gathering this size really warrants. Anton would be a little worried about just how well cooked this meat is, judging from the smell and the charcoaled exterior, but he knows his lads have got solid stomachs. They've eaten far worse, let's face it, both in wolf and human form, and he doesn't really care about anyone else, frankly. Judging from the conversation he's overheard so far, the bride's family, her brother and cousins in particular, might deserve a nasty bout of food poisoning. But he is stressed out again, to say the least. He's watching the bride's family toss their empty cans in the general direction of, nowhere near, the rubbish bin, and slop ketchup and mustard and barbecue sauce everywhere, and spit on the floor, and he's pretty sure one just took a leak behind the hot tub when there must be a toilet inside, and he's picturing them all in his garden in a few weeks, churning up his grass and vomiting in the shrubs and pissing in his flower beds. Even the lads know better than that. And he doesn't want to do it. Not even a little bit. It's so bad that Anton's even looking forward to Viago getting there. Even if it will be their first proper test tonight, trying to be convincing in front of people, in front of the pack. He actually feels a lot better about it than he did. It's been nice to not have the lads on his case 24/7, and Viago's been really nice about the whole thing too. Anton's even got him texting a bit more, so they've been able to chat and plan, and yeah, Anton's feeling a heck of a lot more reassured that they can do this than he was. It's only Nick with Viago tonight when he arrived shortly after sunset. Apparently Vlad and Deacon hadn't wanted to hang out with a bunch of humans and werewolves. Anton raises his hand in greeting, and Viago offers a little finger wave in return. "That your boyfriend, is it?" one of the bride's cousins asks, and Anton forces himself to take a steadying breath before he turns to face him because he can hear the derision in his tone. "Yeah, it is," he confirms coldly and gives the bloke a sort of look that would have any one of the lads scrabbling to apologise and explain themselves. This guy just scoffs. "Didn't take that for your type, bro," the guy says, biting back one of those gross, arrogant, judgmental laughs. And Anton knows he should let it drop, should just walk away, because he's already at his limit. But he can't, because he's Anton, and he's the alpha, and even his bloody wolf is staring, and can feel it stretching in his belly, a growl building in his chest. "What's that supposed to mean, bro?" he asks, and can feel his lip curling as he does. "You know," the guy grins. "At least you dress like a dude." He gestures at Anton's boots and jeans and flannel shirt, then pass him to where Viago must be approaching in his brocade, waistcoat and frilly cravat. "Didn't expect you to go for someone so faggy. Might as well date a girl, eh?" Yeah, Anton should really have walked away, because now he can hear the blood rushing in his ears, and the skin on the back of his neck is prickling in a way that can only mean his fur is sprouting through, and his fingernails have sharpened into points where they're pressing into his palms. Fuck. No, fuck. Don't start swearing, it'll only make it worse. "Anton?" Viago asks softly. "Is everything okay?" His hand is resting between Anton's shoulder blades. He can feel the cool of it against the inferno of his own skin. Shit. Viago must be able to feel the fur spreading. Not shit. Fuck. It's werewolves. Anton tries to take a deep breath, tries to remember how to count. It's not really working. He chances a glance at Viago and watches as his eyes widen at whatever he sees on Anton's face. Fuck, his eyes have probably changed, morphed from their usual hazel into that unnatural gold. Hopefully they're not fucking glowing too, because his wolf is right there, just itching to tear this guy limb from limb. "Oh, Liebling," he murmurs, taking Anton's hand in his and moving to lead him away. "I'm going to steal you away for a moment." Anton goes a little helplessly as Viago leads him across the garden, blood still boiling. Maybe he should try that grounding thing. What is it? 5 things he can see? Okay, right. He can see the fancy pattern of Viago's waistcoat. It's a dark purpley colour, like dried rose petals or a bruise, and there's that little belt thing at the back, the thing that pulls it in at his waist, emphasises the dip there. It looks like it was made for someone to slot their hands into. He can see Viago's shiny boots, too. The leather looks old, but well cared for. Anton's looks scruffy in comparison. The suede's scuffed in places, and there's that big, muddy stain on the toe. Viago pulls to a stop in the little path down the side of the house. They're shielded a bit from the party here. He tugs on Anton's hand to bring him round to face him. Anton can see his face now, too. Those wide, expressive eyes, brow furrowed a bit in concern. That's five.
It's all right, Liebling, he says softly. Remember your breathing.
Here. He lifts Anton's hand and presses it to his own chest, fakes a deep, steady breath. Right. Okay. Four things he can feel. He can feel the solidity of Viago's sternum rising and falling as he takes unneeded breaths for Anton to match. No heartbeat underneath, though. That's a bit weird. Anton's heart is still racing. He can feel Viago's fingers, too, curled around his own, thumb sweeping across his knuckles. What else? Anton shuffles closer, reaches out with his free hand and rests it in the dip of Viago's waist. A perfect fit. There. Now he can feel the cool silk of that waistcoat beneath his fingers, too. Shit. He needs one more. Not shit. His next breath comes out a little shaky in his frustration. Almost a whine behind it. Viago pulls him closer. Wraps his other arm around Anton's shoulders. His fingers dive into the hair at Anton's nape. It must be thicker than usual, where his fur is sprouting, though. Viago combs through it, up and down, now scritching lightly against his skin. Oh, that's nice. Anton leans into it, feels his heart rate slow. The tension in his shoulders loosen, just a little bit. That counts, that's four. Okay. Three things he can hear. There's his blood and his pulse still thundering in his ears, so that's got to be one, right? And a loud, obnoxious laugh cuts through the moment, and everything comes right back. The tension in his shoulders snaps tight again. His head spins towards the sound, and there's a growl rattling in the back of his throat.
Look at me, Wina Leap.
Viago soothes. He releases Anton's hand to cup his jaw, gently forces his head back round to meet his gaze. Something about the casual display of unexpected strength cuts through Anton's focus. Of course he knew, in theory, that vampires were strong. But Viago looks so unruffled. Had fought against the wolf then, to manhandle Anton's gaze back to him as if it were nothing. A whine does leak out of him then. Because he hates this. Hates that the beast inside him has such overriding control. That there's so little he can do. Viago pulls him closer, arm around his shoulders solid, and directing without being restraining. Anton tucks his face in beside Viago's, his ear pressed to the smooth plane of his cheek, blocking out the noise of the party beyond. Right, yeah. Things he can hear. Viago hands him that one too, as his fingers go back to scritching and soothing through his hair, and he murmurs soft words of encouragement.
You are okay. You are doing so well, Liebling. Such wonderful control. I'm so proud of you.
Anton heaves a deep breath. Feels the tension easing away from him. All right. Almost there. He can feel the wolf retreating, curling up somewhat reluctantly in his chest. Two things he can smell. It's the distant smell of the charred meat on the grill, but it's almost entirely covered by Viago's scent. Something deep and rich and almost loamy. Something that reminds Anton of the forest. He turns his head a little more, nose pressed to Viago's cravat, inhales deeply. Okay. Last one. Just taste left.
That's it, little wolf, Viago soothes.
Less of the little, Anton manages. His voice is still rough, throat only just reclaimed from his wolf. Viago hums, and Anton can almost hear the little smirk on his face.
I'm sure you're a very big, very bad wolf.
Something about the way he says it, the almost mocking tone, sends a little shiver down Anton's spine. He inhales a little sharply, another lungful of that heady scent.
Probably for the best if you don't show us all right now, though. Not in front of other humans.
Anton huffs a little laugh at that. It's not 100%. He's still not entirely there. Taste. He still needs a taste. It niggles at his brain that his process is incomplete. He pulls back a bit so that he can see Viago properly and... he doesn't know. Maybe ask if he has a mint or something? Nah, that's stupid. Vampires don't carry mints. Maybe he's got something else, though. There was a sudden ruckus from the garden, shouting and the unmistakable sound of the lads getting themselves into trouble. Anton sighs and tears himself away from Viago, charging towards the noise. Bloody Dion is squaring off with that idiot cousin now, both puffing up their chests and getting in each other's faces. The other lads are gathered round, trying to intervene, telling Dion to breathe, not to swear, but Dion's not listening. We don't use that word anymore, bro, he's spitting it in the cousin's face. It's disrespectful. You better bloody apologize. Oh yeah? You gonna make me, bro? All right, Anton shouts over them both, diving right into the fray. That's enough. The lads help pull Dion away, and Anton puts himself between the two of them. He used the F slur, Anton. Dion grumbles from behind him. Yeah, I know, mate. He finds Nathan M in the crowd and directs his next words at him. Nathan, he says loud and clear, pointing back at the cousin, this idiot is not welcome in my home. I don't want him there, so you better uninvite him or find somewhere else to hold this bloody wedding. Anton's so clearly in alpha mode that none of them even pull him up for swearing. Come on, let's get out of here, he says to Dion and turns to leave. Viago practically skips up next to him. I shall come too, he says. Sorry about this, mate. I know you were looking forward to the party. Not at all, Viago smiles back. I'm having a wonderful time. Anton's heart is skipping about again. Must be the adrenaline. He still needs to find a taste. End of chapter.
Death, Wish, Love. Chapter 4. Anton drives them back to his place. Not really for any reason other than he's kind of on autopilot. Still thinking about how he didn't find a taste. Didn't complete that grounding exercise. Dion's leaping up before the utes even really come to a complete stop in the driveway, mumbling a goodbye and apology over his shoulder as he hightails it back to his place. Anton doesn't mind. He knows the guy's embarrassed. Knows Dion remembered using that word himself, directed at Viago, not too long ago. They had it out afterwards, of course. Knows the trouble this evening is probably down to Dion trying to make amends. Did you want me to drive you home? He asks Viago, who's smiling softly at him from the passenger seat. Or, well, it's still early. We could watch a movie or something.
Oh, yes, I love movies.
Viago's grin stretches so that his fangs pop.
Can we watch the one with the emails?
Emails? You mean you've got mail? Anton laughs. Yeah, mate, we can do that. Viago grins back a little giddy.
I love Meg Ryan. And Tom Hanks.
Anton lets him in, almost forgets that he has to specifically invite Viago and leaves him looking a little sheepish on the doorstep for a moment. Shit. Sorry, mate. Come on in.
Svevoof,
Viago smirks. Yeah, yeah, Anton waves him off and heads to the fridge for a beer, that missing taste still scratching the back of his brain. You want... oh, nuts. Sorry, mate, I don't have any blood here.
Not a problem. I ate on my way to the party.
Oh, right. Okay. Anton fumbles as he leads them over to the sofa. It gives him a bit of a squirmy feeling in his stomach and he's not sure why. Maybe we should ask Nick to get some blood bags from the hospital. To keep here, I mean, for when you come over. Viago lights up as he takes a seat beside him.
That would be very kind of you.
Do you have a preference, like blood type or anything? No. It is not so much about blood type, more about the human. What kind of person they are, their diet, things like that. You can usually tell from their scent how delicious they will be. Is that right? The humans at the party, for example, smelt bitter and prejudiced. Yuck. They are probably disgusting. Huh. What? What do I smell like? Anton asks, then immediately hurries to correct. Sorry, that's stupid. I know we all smell awful to you.
Not at all, Viago jumps in. I think your werewolf scent is a little overwhelming at first, that is all. Vampires spend so much time around each other, and we all smell like death. Or, well, lack of life. Werewolves are overwhelming because you are so full of life. Twice as much as humans, even. Now I am used to it. You actually smell very pleasant.
Huh, Anton says again, then takes a swig of his beer because he doesn't really know what to say to that. And he's still thinking about taste. Still feels a bit incomplete. What do you think I taste like? He asks, without really thinking it through. Viago's brows shoot up.
Are you just curious, Liebling, or are you offering a taste?
Anton really needs to look up all these German words. God, yeah, he didn't think this through at all. He doesn't want, does he? What would that even look like? Viago's mouth, his fangs, against Anton's throat. Would he have to? He'd have to straddle Anton's thighs to hold him still, probably. Those strong hands gripping his chin, twisted into his hair, holding him in place. Because the wolf wouldn't submit easily. Wouldn't simply allow it. Would it? His heart's in his throat, because there's a line here somewhere and Anton thinks he might have just leant past it by accident, and he doesn't even really know what it's about. Just curious, mate, he manages to get out. His voice is rough and strained. Viago's eyes look darker than usual.
I have never drunk from a werewolf before, Viago says softly.
He shuffles a little closer, reaches out tentatively for Anton's hand. Gives him plenty of time to move away. He doesn't. Viago lifts his hand slowly, no sudden movements. He slides one cool fingertip beneath the cuff of Anton's shirt, easing it back a little. His eyes locked on Anton the entire time. His pulse is racing, and he knows Viago can feel it in his wrist. Hell, he can probably hear it.
But you smell.
Viago leans in closer, presses the sensitive, vulnerable skin of Anton's wrist to his nose and inhales deeply.
You smell warm and comforting, he murmurs, lips brushing against his flesh as he speaks.
He takes one more deep inhale.
You smell like life and laughter and...
He pulls back a little, face strained as if the temptation is too much.
Sunlight. You smell like sunshine.
Anton swallows audibly.
Do you miss it? He asks, voice barely more than a breath. Every day.
Viago breathes back. Something twists in Anton's chest at that. Pity? Nah, that sounds awful. Sympathy, maybe. Whatever it is, he feels that instinct to soothe surging through him, to comfort. Wants to reach out and pull Viago into a hug and find a way to make it better. His hand flexes around Viago's, whilst his brain dithers over whether to move closer or pull Viago to him. Before he can decide, there's keys rattling in the front door, and Nathan M. is calling out as he lets himself in. Anton, you here? Yeah, mate, we're in here. Nathan appears and then falters at the sight of the two of them sitting close on the sofa. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. It's all right, mate, Anton waves him off. Thought you'd still be at your party. No, it kind of fell apart after you left. Chastity said some... Wait, Anton cuts him off. Chastity? She's called Chastity? Yeah, did you not... Anton has no idea how he's only just learning this now. Your pregnant girlfriend... Fiancé... Whatever. Your pregnant fiancé is called Chastity? Yeah, it's like a family name or whatever. Nathan clearly does not see the irony here. Viago is practically choking on his suppressed laughter. Anyway, yeah, she said some pretty mean things about you and, well, the boys didn't really like that. Ah, shit, Anton mutters. Viago squeezes his hand in admonishment because, oh, he's still holding it. Fingers threaded together in his lap. Nothing happened, Nathan rushes to add. Stu got everyone out of there before it really kicked off. But yeah, I don't know if there'll even be a wedding anymore. And honestly, that's the best news Anton's had in ages. No more wedding? Viago wouldn't have to pretend with him anymore. But Nathan looks so blinking dejected about it, Anton can't bring himself to celebrate. I'm sure it will all be fine once everyone has cooled down, Viago offers. Yeah, mate, Anton agrees a bit reluctantly. It'll look better tomorrow. Nathan mumbles something inaudible. Would you like to watch a movie with us? Viago offers. We are watching the one with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks and the emails. Every time he says the word emails, he sounds so proud of himself, like he hopes people notice how up-to-date he is with current technologies. It's so freaking endearing, Anton can't help but smile at him. Anton finds the movie and they settle down to watch. Viago hooks an arm around his, shuffles closer so he's pressed up against Anton's side. He looks up, big brown eyes asking, "Is this okay?" Anton swallows and offers a small nod. And Viago's not warm, but there's something nice about it. Comforting, maybe. Not so dissimilar to the way the pack will pile on and curl around each other sometimes, though they don't sit quite like this. After a moment, Viago rests his head on Anton's shoulder, and it just feels natural for Anton to lean in, rest his cheek against the top of Viago's head. His hair is soft, and it smells nice. Strawberries, maybe. He's struck suddenly with the thought that it must be his shampoo, which is weird because he'd never really thought about vampires washing before, but they must do, surely, especially ones like Viago, who cares so much about their appearance. Viago probably prefers baths, he thinks. Not just because that's all he would have known in his human days, but he probably goes all out. Bubbles, oils, candles, maybe even petals. He can see it. Viago reclining in an overly bubbly bath, rose petals clinging to his skin. He gives himself a little mental shake. Why is he thinking about his friend in the bath, for Pete's sake? They're not far into the movie when Nathan's phone starts blowing out with messages. He disappears into the guest bedroom to deal with them. Viago doesn't pull away, though, and Anton is too exhausted to move, the physical and emotional strain of the evening catching up with him. Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks aren't even close to getting together when he falls asleep. Anton wakes up alone on the sofa. Every muscle in his body aches from the efforts of almost letting the wolf out and subsequently holding it at bay the night before. Made significantly worse for the fact that it's only midway through the moon cycle, it's all made a little bit less awful, though, by the blanket someone, it must have been Viago, has draped over him, all tucked in snug and pulled up to his ears, just the way he likes. Anton heaves himself up with far too much grunting and groaning. He sets a bath running to soak his aching muscles and makes himself a cup of tea whilst he waits. He adds bubbles to the bath, determinedly not thinking about Viago as he does. Definitely not thinking about that image of him in the bath his brain has conjured up the night before. The bubbles are lavender scented anyway, not strawberry. He reaches for his phone once he's climbed in, not making a note to buy a strawberry bubble bath at his next shop because that'd be weird, and sees a text from the vampire. Good morning, Liebling. I hope you slept well. He's probably fast asleep by now. The sun is streaming in through the bathroom window, made hazy by the frosting on the glass. Anton replies anyway. Morning, V. Sorry for passing out last night. He sets his phone on the rack next to his tea and sinks a little deeper into the water, not expecting a reply and a little shocked when one comes through almost right away. Not at all. You were exhausted. Yeah, everything hurts this morning. Poor little wolf. Oi! You should take a bath. Soak the ache out. Way ahead of you, mate. He doesn't really think about it as he snaps a pic of the bath. His fuzzy knees are poking out of the water, but the bubbles obscure anything else. No accidental cameos or unsolicited dick pics from him. The photo whooshes off across the ether to Viago, the little ticks turning blue to show he's seen it. But he doesn't reply this time. Has probably fallen asleep. End of chapter.
Death, Wish, Love by Book Knobs and Broomsticks. Chapter 5. Anton's got deja vu. Well, they're at his place this time, so everything isn't exactly the same, but he's back in the kitchen, forehead pressed to the fridge door, taking a moment. Anton? Oh, yep. Here we go. This is how he'd gotten into this mess in the first place. He turns, only a little reluctantly, to face Viago. Yeah, mate? He asks, leaning back against the kitchen counter.
Is everything all right?
Anton opens his mouth to reply with his standard, everything's fine. But Viago cuts him off.
Do not tell me you are fine.
He scowls, stepping closer. I know you, Anton. You are not fine. Anton sighs. I don't think we're convincing anyone, mate. These your flatmates, for one. Because, yeah, Vlad and Deacon are sitting out there in the living room with the pack. They've been glaring at him through narrowed eyes all evening. Suspicious. Judging. And then there's the lads. They keep asking questions. What kind of questions? Anton stares resolutely at his socked feet. Like... He takes another breath, tries not to groan with humiliation as he releases it and grumbles. Like... What it's like kissing a vampire. Oh, Viago says, but when Anton flicks his gaze up nervously... The vampire is clearly trying to suppress a smirk. My flatmates have also been asking questions, he explains. Though not about kissing, he adds a little quieter, a hint of mischief in his tone. Not about
Anton starts before the penny drops in a rush of heat. Frick. He swallows, tries not to focus on any of the images flashing through his brain in any great detail. What did you tell them? He asks, voice much more ragged than he'd like. Viago hums, that smirk turning smug and self-satisfied, and the images in Anton's mind take a turn, sharpen and focus into a montage of bare, tawny skin, of long, elegant fingers grasping and gripping and holding, of Viago's face, eyes dark with lust, and his hair mussed, of laboured breath and heads thrown back and groans of ecstasy. What did you tell our boys? Viago asks, breaking Anton out of the salacious onslaught. I told them to mind their bloody business, Anton croaks. Svev, Viago murmurs as he slides a step closer. Anton swallows as Viago's rich, heady scent surrounds him. Perhaps, Viago goes on, voice so soft, so blinking careful. Perhaps we need to elevate the game, Liebling. Elevate? Anton manages to repeat, barely more than an exhale, though. Viago hums. Show them something to end the speculation. Anton snaps his eyes up to meet Viago's gaze, because apparently he'd been watching his mouth as he spoke, stuck on the way his plush lips formed the shape of those words. Show them? He repeats. Clearly he can't summon any words of his own anymore. It is up to you, of course, Viago reassures him. This is all up to you, but if you wanted to, you are safe with me, meine Liebe. And he feels safe, is the thing. Despite the whole vampire and werewolf of it all, he knows he's safe with Viago. Knows that the vampire is only looking out for him, just wants to help. Has shown him that at every turn. In the careful way he's eased Anton into this. In the way he'd looked after him at that blasted party. The softness and the tenderness that didn't end when they got home, but has continued on through their texts all week. I've never... Don't think I'd be very convincing, mate, he stammers, because he knows what they're talking about here. They're talking about kissing, and Anton has never kissed a bloke before. Not even in a drunken game of spin the bottle in his youth. And he knows if they march out there right now and start kissing in front of the lads and the other vamps, that it's not going to persuade anyone of anything except that he's been having them on this whole time. That despite Viago's gentle care, it'll be awkward and hesitant and nothing like the easy familiarity of two people who'd supposedly been dating for some time. No one would believe it's not our first kiss. What if it was not our first? What? We could practice whilst no one is looking. What? Now? Anton asks because, yeah, okay, hypothetical future kissing is one thing, kissing right now, here, in this kitchen? Viago gives him a little half-smile, one fang peeking out. It's a little shy, a little sheepish. It is up to you, Liebling. It is always up to you. And for Frick's sake, Viago is doing this for him, so why does it feel like Anton is letting him down already, before they've even started doing anything? He stammers, tries to buy himself a bit of time to sort his head out, because, yeah, okay, he can do this, probably. Objectively speaking, Viago is a good-looking guy, Nah, okay, that's a bloody understatement, and he knows it. Viago is freaking beautiful. Far more beautiful than any girl Anton's ever kissed, that's for sure. With his cheekbones and those long lashes and big caramel eyes. You don't have to, he says, not sure if he's offering Viago or himself the out. I know, but I am offering, Viago replies. Yeah, but I don't want you to feel like, you know, you probably don't want to. Anton, Viago interrupts his muttered rambling. He lifts a hand, brushing back that curl that's always flopping about on his forehead and refuses to stay in place, then tracing his fingers down so he can brush a thumb across Anton's cheek. It would not be a hardship to kiss you. Anton swallows. Oh, he says. Oh, Viago repeats. Okay. Okay? Yeah. Viago is the one to lean in, which Anton is eternally grateful, as he's not sure he's capable of movement right now. Feels frozen to the spot, actually. Viago's nose brushes his. We can stop at any time, Viago offers, unnecessary breath dancing across Anton's lips. Wait, Anton snaps, and Viago freezes. What about your fangs? Be careful, Liebling. They are very sharp, Viago says, and Anton can feel the stretch of his lips into a grin as he closes that final bit of distance. It's soft, chased even. Just the cool press of Iago's lips against his own. And this is fine, Anton thinks. Doesn't really know why he was overthinking it so much before. But then Iago moves. His lips slide against Anton's and he moves closer again, almost chest to chest. He's still cupping Anton's jaw, but his other hand slips around Anton's waist, fingers splaying on the small of his back, and Anton's heart seems to skip a beat. Or maybe 12. God, what should he do with his hands? They're just hanging limp at his sides. All right? Viago pauses to ask, doesn't really pull away. Their lips are still touching, but Anton's grateful for the chance to take a breath. Yeah, Anton manages to exhale. And then Viago's pressing back in, and Anton's hands lift their own accord, one settling on Viago's arm, the other snaking to the back of his neck, fingers dancing across that slither of skin between his hair and the edge of his cravat. Viago releases a little sound, something almost needy, maybe a bitten off whine, and then he's pulling Anton flush against him, the tips of his own fingers digging into Anton's back in a way that's dancing the line of almost too much. And fuck, it's so different to kissing women. Viago has none of that softness. It's just the hard press of his body against Anton's, and it's solid and unyielding and, God, it's incredible. Anton breaks away for just a moment for a hurried, desperate inhale before Viago's pulling him back in. And, shit, that's Viago's tongue caressing the seam of Anton's lips, and he doesn't really think about it, just lets him in and, fuck. He can't help the groan that leaks out of him this time. Can't even feel self-conscious about it because it's mirrored by Viago. Viago, whose tongue is currently in Anton's mouth. Viago, whose fingers are twisted in Anton's hair. Viago, who is pulling them impossibly closer. Fuck. Viago's tongue is cool amidst the inferno of Anton's mouth. It's nice. God, it's so much. The relief of a cool breeze on an overwhelmingly hot day. That incredible feeling when the weather finally turns and summer gives way to the crispness of autumn. Better than any ice pop he's ever had. He tilts his head, eager for all he can get. Anton registers the sharpness somewhere in the back of his brain, but it's not until the taste of iron floods his mouth that he realizes what has happened, that he's caught his tongue on Viago's fangs. Viago's groan dissolves into almost a growl, and the kiss turns hungry, searching, a little desperate. His fingers tighten in Anton's hair, using his grip to tilt his head further to grant himself a better angle. He sucks Anton's tongue into his mouth, chases every drop of blood with his own. Anton manages to tear himself away, almost doesn't make it, with the hungry way Viago's mouth follows him. Shit, sorry, he pants. I didn't. None. Viago shakes his head, forehead knocking against Anton's. His voice is harsher, rougher than Anton has ever heard it. Fuck. It is all right. Not disgusting? Anton asks, trying to make light of the situation but still managing to sound a little self-conscious. Viago huffs an incredulous laugh. No, Liebling. Decidedly not disgusting. Viago seems to gather himself enough to pull back a little, begins to ask, Are you all? Before he's interrupted. Yuck! Vladislav shouts in the doorway. I'm going to be sick. He turns back towards the living room to add, Nobody go in here! Viago and the werewolf are sucking each other's faces off. That's not the... Stew starts, and then seems to decide it's not worth it. Viago heaves a sigh. I suppose that was convincing enough then, he says. Yeah, guess so, mate. Anton tries to chuckle back, though as Viago moves away, he can't quite ignore the sad feeling that washes over him that they might not need to do that again. End of chapter.
Death, Wish, Love by Booknobs and Broomsticks. Chapter 6. Frick. Anton's so freaking tired. He's always tired before the full moon, run down, spread thin. But the thrumming energy of the wolf beneath his skin usually balances things out. This tiredness, though, it's so much more than that. It's lack of sleep tiredness. It's been a week of broken sleep now, a week since that get-together at his place, since that kiss, and a week of vivid dreams, of waking up sweating and tangled in the blankets and, more often than not, with his cock in his hand. And that's the worst part, because it's Viago's face, his friend's face, in his head when he inevitably follows through. Okay, maybe that's not the worst part. The worst part is actually that he doesn't think he's ever come so hard in his life. So yeah, he's not just freaking tired. He's also confused. A whirlpool of conflicting feelings. He's tried to put a bit of distance between himself and Viago this week to clear his head. Really needs to unpack all these feelings he's having, sort himself out, but he's just so freaking tired, and he misses his friend. He's been reaching for his phone all week, every time one of the lads says something stupid,
Or there's a development in the on-again, off-again wedding plans and Anton needs to vent. He's picked up his phone and been halfway through typing a message before he remembers. Distance. Space. That's not to say Viago hasn't texted him. Every evening, every morning. Not needy or demanding his attention, just wishing him good night or good morning, asking how he is, if he'd like to do something together. If there's anything he can do to help with the full moon prep. And Anton's not a monster. Maybe. So he doesn't just ghost him, but he manages to brush Viago off each time, blames the moon and his short temper and tells him that he's not great company now. Viago never pushes, just tells him to take care of himself, or to shout if he needs anything. Anton, in his exhausted state, can't decide if Viago's just a really good friend or if some of the irritation he's inexplicably feeling is warranted. Because he's straight. He knows he's straight. Always has been. Never doubted it. Until now. Until his new bloody friend had bloody kissed him and had him bloody questioning everything. And yeah, maybe he is blaming Viago a little bit for confusing him, or he doesn't even know. Just being a bloody good kisser? Of course he's a good kisser. He's got centuries of experience. Or maybe it was his, like, vampire hypnosis or something. Maybe he'd glamoured Anton and that's why he was feeling all out of sorts and hung up on a kiss. Could vampires glamour people? He'd heard about the worm spaghetti trick. What else did they have up their sleeves? Right, yeah, no. He trusts Viago, he does. He's just, frick, he's so confused and tired. Confused and tired. And he needs to get his shits together because he's the alpha and the lads need him. Tonight, especially. And this level of distraction can only lead to accidents and he doesn't want that on any of their consciences. He casts his eye over the pack. Somehow, miraculously, they all seem to be on the ball tonight. Well, Clifton's wearing jeans again, and Nathan's still got his army surplus jacket on. Again. But on the whole, they've all got their chains, and most of them are already locked up to their chosen trees. Actually, sensibly chosen trees this time, not flimsy little branches. Stu's the only one still wandering around, checking everyone's secure, so that probably goes a long way to explaining the lads' uncharacteristic levels of organisation. You need some help with your chains, Anton? Stu asks him, noticing Anton still hovering about by the ute. Nah, mate, he replies. I'm all good. You get yourself sorted. Anton hikes his chains out of the back of the ute and makes his way to the hefty-looking tree the lads have left him in the centre, casting careful eyes over their locks as he goes, double-checking their chains are tight enough that there's no chance of the wolves getting out. He needs to get a move on, can feel his wolf stirring. His jaw is starting to ache, his skin is prickling. He hurries to wrap his own restraints around himself and the trunk, tries to ignore the panicking and the snuffling sounds from the others, tries to ignore the way his bones hurt as they begin to elongate when he fumbles the lock. His muscles scream as they stretch and mutate, fangs and claws piercing through his flesh and fur forcing its way through his pores. His vision blurs as his eyes shift, whilst his other senses suddenly sharpen. His nose is flooded with a familiar, rich and heady scent. No. He snaps his head up despite his shifting sight and squints the tree line around them, begging his eyesight to clear and sharpen too. Just about manages to pick out a familiar-looking silhouette amongst them. Shit. He tries to call out Viago's name as a plea and a warning, but all that comes out is a snarl before the beast fully consumes him. When Anton wakes, everything hurts. Every ligament has been pushed to its limit overnight and he'll be suffering the consequences for the next few days. He groans and tries to pull himself together enough to move, and that is enough for him to realise he's no longer chained up. The prickle of the grass beneath his cheek should really have been his first clue, but the disorientation of being back in his body, back in the sunlight, is overwhelming.
He shoots up to sitting, head spinning with the effort, and tries to take in his surroundings. He's not gone far, thankfully. Apparently his wolf knows not to abandon his pack, who are all still chained up and a bit out of it. Anton surveys himself and the surrounding area. No blood, no destruction. Surely it can't be that easy. He inhales deeply, in case his still adjusting eyes are missing something, and the faint trace of a scent stops his heart dead. Viago. Had he been here? He must have been, for his scent is still be lingering. The memory of that shadowy figure in the trees comes back, but that's all his mind has to offer. God, he hates this. Hates losing whole pockets of time. Hates having no idea what devastation he'd caused during the night. He pushes himself up, scraps of his t-shirt hanging on in tatters, joggers ripped and torn. Sniffs the air again, tries to follow the scent. Still can't see any blood. No piles of ash. Fuck. The lads are rousing now. He needs to get it together. Be the alpha. Take care of them. Unchain them. Dress them. Get them home and fed. But he can barely breathe for panic. Can't stop the flood of images that are drowning out all his rational thoughts. Anton? One of them calls. He can't even tell who from the blood rushing in his ears. You're okay, mate, another adds, and then there are hands helping him up, pulling him in. Arms wrapping around him, and he's squished in the middle of them all. They're pressing in close, bare skin to bare skin. And all he can think is that it's too hot. It's a little too hot and too hairy, and they don't smell right, and he'll never forgive himself if something happened to Viago. The lads get him home. He's not sure who drives. Dion, maybe? Steers beside him in the cab, not fussing, just breathing steady. The offer there for Anton to mimic him if he wants. If he even can. The rest of the lads are piled in the back. Anton doesn't want to go home. He wants to go to the vampire house. Needs to check. Make sure Viago is okay. But it's morning, the sun is blinding, so what can he do? He lets the pack pile him into bed. They offer snacks and drinks and a shower, but Anton can't do any of it. The boys climb in after him until they're all piled in and curled around each other, still a bit wolfish, probably feeling anxious and some primal need to comfort their alpha. He kind of wishes they wouldn't, but he can't turn them away. One by one, the lads drop off. It takes Anton much longer. Every time he closes his eyes, he's met with blood-soaked visions. But eventually, the low rumbling of their snores drag him under too. It must be mid-afternoon when Anton wakes again. He's still aching, muscles stiff and sore. The bed is empty and the lads are gone, though they've left a pile of cooked sausages and bacon for him, and even tidied up after themselves. Fudge, they must be worried. He's worried too. That hasn't gone away, not at all. He drifts around his place aimlessly, eyes constantly checking the clock or tracking the sun's progress across the sky. Would be significantly less worried, he thinks, if he could find his phone. Thinks just maybe, hopefully, there'll be a good morning message on it waiting for him that'll rid him of his nausea. He's been out to the ute, turned it upside down, unpacked all the supplies from the back, checked under the seats and in the glove box, but he can't find it anywhere. He manages to coax himself into the shower, had intended to run a bath, but then he'd remembered that image of Viago in the bath and that had made him feel physically sick with worry, so shower it is. Tries to soak his aching muscles under the hot spray and absolutely definitely doesn't cry. Will not let himself think about any of the many horrible things that could have happened last night. Tries to breathe deep. Tries to let the steam open up his lungs. It doesn't work. He pulls on fresh trackies in his jacket afterwards, walks the distance to the vampire house. It's not a short distance, not one he'd usually walk at all, but it fills the remaining time before nightfall,
burns off a little of the restless energy buzzing under his skin. As the last vestiges of daylight fade from the sky, Anton is already waiting on the vampire's doorstep. He gives it a couple more minutes, heart in his throat, and knowing full well that he just might not walk away from here tonight if his fears prove true. Viago answers the door. Viago. Whole and, well, maybe not healthy exactly, but in one piece. Looking beautiful in all his finery and frills and offering Anton a soft little surprised smile. Anton practically sobs with the relief of it, almost falls forward into Viago, wrapping him up in his arms and burying his face in the curve of his throat, inhaling that scent that's had him on the verge of some kind of breakdown all day. Anton, Viago exclaims. What is it? I thought... Anton starts, then shakes his head. Can't get the words out. Instead, a whimper leaks out of him and he nuzzles in closer, hoping Viago didn't notice. Rubs his nose along his jaw, inhaling all he can get. He tries again. You are scaring me, Liebling, Viago whispers against his cheek, hands clutching and holding him close. It's nothing, Anton exhales back, their noses bumping. How can he explain, put into words the fear that's been crushing him all day? The fear that he'd lost Viago, that it had been his fault too. But Viago is here. He's okay. He's safe and solid and right here, and Anton's never known relief like it. Needs more of it, in fact. Once more. It's Anton's lips that catch against Viago's this time. The first brush like a question or a warning. And then he's pressing in, needy and desperate and seeking reassurance. Viago doesn't question, thank goodness. He gasps a little at Anton's tenacity, but it's only one singular heartbeat before he's kissing back. End of chapter. Death, Wish, Love by Book Knobs and Broomsticks. Chapter 7. Viago grunts as his back hits the wall. Breath he doesn't need, forced from his lungs as Anton presses into him, pinning him in place. Anton fills his own lungs with a desperate gasp before he's leaning back in, capturing Viago's mouth. Their bodies are pulled flush, chest to chest, hip to hip. Fudge. Anton groans and Viago takes the opportunity to deepen the kiss, cool tongue swiping against his own. Anton registers the sharpness of his fangs this time, carefully caresses the edge of them with his tongue before pressing gently against the tip. Just enough to draw a bead of blood. Some primal need driving him to protect Viago, to care for him. It's Viago's turn to groan now, and then, before he can fully register what's happening, it's Anton's back against the wall. Viago's hands pinning his wrists at his sides. He's breathing hard, though he definitely doesn't need to. Scheiße, Viago mutters. Anton, what is happening right now? I thought I'd lost you, Anton breathes. I thought I'd hurt you. Oh, meine Liebe, Viago murmurs, leaning closer again. I'm right here. Anton whimpers. A pathetic, needy, mewling sound. Fingers clawing at Viago's back, clutching at him, pulling him in, needing the reassurance of Viago's body against him. Needs to feel the evidence for himself. I've got you, Liebling, Viago soothes. It's all right. And... oh, God, he's slotting his thigh between Anton's and sugar. Anton's hard. When did that happen? His hips roll of their own accord, dragging his erection against the solid line of Iago's thigh. And there's that whimper again. It dissolves into a moan this time. That's it, little love. Viago almost purrs. Almost. Would probably pull it off if his voice wasn't quite so ragged. Is this what you need?
Fuck. Viago, Anton grunts, pressing his forehead into Viago's shoulders. Sverb? Viago murmurs, his lips catching against the shell of Anton's ear as he does. It sends a shiver down his spine, making his hips jerk against Viago's thigh again. Viago's hand grips Anton's side, slipping beneath the hem of his t-shirt, cold skin against the overheated flesh of his stomach. Dropping lower, strong fingers gripping his hips, guiding them into a slow roll, grinding down into Viago's thigh again and again. And it's heaven. His wolf is practically purring at the pressure, the reassurance, which is ridiculous because wolves don't purr. Is this all right? Viago asks, and Anton can only whine in response. Verdsliebling. Yeah. Yes. Fuck. Anton manages to grunt, but then Viago's fingers are teasing at the waistband of his joggers, sliding just beneath, brushing against the soft, vulnerable skin beneath and sending great jolts of electricity surging out to every corner of his body. Anton gasps a greedy, shuddering inhale. And this? Is this all right? Yes, Anton practically growls, and then he's biting down on Viago's shoulder, fancy satin jacket and all, to muffle the groan that leaks out of him as Viago's fingers dip lower and wrap themselves around his length. Oh, meine Liebe, Viago groans too, stroking once up and down the full length of him. Not such a little wolf after all. Fuck. Viago is cold, and he's gripping him just right, and Anton can barely help himself from thrusting into his hand, and he can't help it, but the wolf fucking preens at Viago's words, wants to pin him down, show him what else he can do. Anton settles on twisting his fingers into Viago's hair again, gripping hard in the insanely soft waves, pressing their faces close, creating a little pocket of humidity between them from his heavy breaths. I thought we agreed, no fornicating in the hallway. Vadislav's voice cuts through the moment. Take the mat to your room if you want to fuck him. Viago sighs, dropping his head to Anton's shoulder and grumbling something under his breath in German as he extracts his hands from Anton's trackies. What? Anton manages to gasp. Through ragged inhales, he pushes Viago back a little, putting a little distance between them. Mate, no, we're not. It's not. But he can't quite finish that thought because, actually, what the frick is happening? Because, yeah, maybe it was a little bit like that. He was bloody rutting against Viago's leg like a horny pup and had Viago's hand around his cock for frick's sake and it had felt, but he's not, he's straight, damn it. He's straight and he's just exhausted and he's been so frickin' worried all day. Worried that he'd hurt Viago and it had shaken him. How hard that had hit him. The possibility that he'd lost his friend, that it would have been his fault. The one thing he hates most about himself, fears most. And it could have taken his friend, his best friend maybe. Frick. He needs to go home. Needs to get some sleep and get his head straight. Christ. Yeah. Really needs to get his head straight. I should go, he says, and lifts his head to look at Viago. Maybe he shouldn't have. Viago looks shocked. Confused, maybe. God, maybe even devastated. Liebling? Viago breathes, eyes wide and glistening. A little furrow beneath his dark brows. You're leaving? Yeah, mate, he tries to say as softly as he can. Think that's for the best, don't you?
I...
Viago flounders.
I thought...
V, I don't... I'm not... Oh, frick, that was not the right thing to say, even though he barely said anything at all. Not judging by the look on Viago's face, the sharp little inhale he does. I mean, he rushes to amend, I'm tired and I panicked and got a little bit swept up there. Viago's face shudders, like he's switching off his emotions. The light in his eyes dims and his expression sort of flattens out. All the warmth that normally lives there seems to freeze over. I'm sorry, V, Viago cuts him off. Of course. It is fine, Anton. It is clearly not fine. Anton's hurt him. Despite everything, despite his whole blinking day, he still hurt him. Just not in the way he thought. Go home. Viago says it like an instruction, not a suggestion. Rest. Viago. Go. Anton turns to leave, then remembers suddenly what had brought him here in the first place. Were you there last night? In the park? Something flickers, and in Viago's expression, something uncertain. A little nervous, maybe. I wanted to be sure you were all right, he says primly. You wanted, Anton repeats, more than a little disbelief in his tone. You have been so tired, Viago interrupts. I was worried about you. Worried, Anton echoes. He can't quite let this sink in. This whole day. This whole bloody nightmare of a day he's had, and it's because, what, Viago was curious? Wanted to see the freak show up close? His heart is still racing. He's still freaking hard, and he's trying so hard to keep the lid on his emotions, not to fly off the handle now. I didn't want anything to happen to you, Viago adds. I'm a fucking werewolf, Viago, Anton explodes. Viago blinks at him in shock. I've been going out of my bloody mind all day, worried I'd fucking eaten you or something. Do you have any idea? You would not have hurt me, Viago breathes. Oh my God, Anton groans, pinching the bridge of his nose between his finger and thumb. I don't have that kind of control. I don't have any control. I don't even remember anything once I turn. Do you really think that? That because I care about you, I wouldn't hurt you? That I'd be like some kind of fucking pet? Viago flounders. Jesus Christ, Viago. There's a chorus of hissing in response to that, because, yeah, Vlad is still standing there in the doorway watching, and Deacon's appeared now too, probably called by the noise. Sorry. Sorry, Anton mutters, holding his hands up. I just... Do you not remember what happened to Stu? Did you think we did that because we wanted to? Of course not, Viago mumbles. I just... Actually, you know what? Anton cuts him off. It doesn't matter. This was a mistake. Now, that actually is devastation on Viago's face. So clear it's echoing in Anton's chest. This now or this? Viago asks softly, waving a hand between the two of them. And Anton doesn't know how to answer that. Both? Neither? This whole stupid fake dating scheme that's turned his whole bloody life upside down? I think I need some space, he says instead, and he can't stand it. The look on Viago's face, so he turns and leaves without waiting for a response. Anton regrets walking now he's faced with a long walk home. His exhaustion catching up with him now the panic and the adrenaline is subsiding. Plus, he's got nothing but time to dwell on the hurt on Viago's face, the sensation of his hand wrapped around him. Frick, he's really messed up. He wishes again that he knew where his phone was. He would call one of the lads to come pick him up. He could text Viago. He could apologize. He's so out of it, so lost in his thoughts, that he doesn't even notice the array of familiar vehicles parked up along the street outside his place. He doesn't even realize that the lads are all there waiting for him until he walks into the living room and sees them all sitting there. What? Is everything all right? He asks, and then the lads are all speaking at once. Are you all right, Anton? Deacon texts Nick, and Nick texts you, and Stu texts all of us. He said you and Viago had broken up. Have you? What happened? What did you do? Is there anything we can do? Anton sighs and drops into the seat they've left open for him. I don't know, guys. We're just... But he doesn't know how to finish the thought. I brought ice cream, Nathan G offers. And beer. Want to watch a movie with us? Or we can go if you'd rather be alone, Stu offers quietly from beside him. But the other lads look affronted at the suggestion, so Anton nods his head. Yeah, I could do a movie. In the end, they stick on The Princess Bride, a familiar favourite, and the lads load him up with snacks. Anton's so tired he's not sure how long he's going to last, honestly, but he knows they need this as much as him, the closeness and the reassurance. He doesn't actually make it far at all, but not because he's fallen asleep. The dread pirate Roberts has just made his first appearance when Anton is struck with the memory of watching this movie a lot after his dad left when he was a kid, and again when his marriage ended. He remembers thinking how cool and suave Wesley was, and how he wished he could be like that too. But also kinda wishing that someone would be willing to go through all that for Anton, would swoop in and rescue him during those shitty times. He'd never been that fussed about Buttercup. He'd take care or leave her, to be honest, but Wesley. Cary Elwes, with his romantic hero hair and his billowy shirt. No, he can't be that much of an idiot, surely. He's a good-looking bloke, isn't he? He asked the lads, trying his best to keep his tone level and casual. Who? Roberts? Dunno. Never really thought about it. Suppose he's quite handsome if you're into that kind of thing. All right, so just because the lads haven't thought about it, that doesn't mean anything, right? Anton spends the rest of the movie assessing the rest of the male characters, but none of them spark any kind of feeling in him. Well, okay, there's something kind of dashing about Inigo. But he's not pretty like Wesley. Nathan M's phone rings somewhere around the big finale. Chastity calling to see when he'll be home, and the sound of it seems to jolt Dion into action. Oh, yeah, he says, reaching into his pocket. I picked up your phone this morning by accident, Anton. Sorry, man. Didn't even realise it wasn't mine till I found mine in my bag later on. Oh, cheers, mate, Anton says, taking it from him and tapping the screen to check his notifications. There, just as he'd hoped there would be this morning, is a text waiting from Viago. Good morning, meine Liebe. I hope the moon was kind to you last night. With a little love heart on the end. End of chapter. Death, Wish, Love by Book Knobs and Broomsticks. Chapter 8. Anton does not sleep well. Even when his brain gives him a moment's release from its constant spiralling and he does finally manage to drift off, he dreams a whole bunch of weird, vivid dreams. Dreams featuring the dread pirate Roberts, who turns into Viago when he removes his mask and then promptly burns up under the sunlight. So yeah, he is far from rested and running late enough for work that he doesn't have time for breakfast, but does have time to grab a pastry and coffee to go from the cafe down the street. The guy who's working the counter this morning is one Anton has seen before, distinctly remembers thinking that he has nice hair and good skin and... Maybe he is a bloody idiot after all. In the time it takes the guy to make Anton's coffee, he allows himself to look, to imagine. Tries to picture what it would be like to go on a date with this bloke, to sit across from him in a restaurant. Tries to imagine holding his hand or kissing him, but he can't. He has absolutely no frame of reference for it, no concept of what that might even look like, a relationship with another bloke. Anton must have been staring too obviously, because as the guy slides his coffee across the counter, he gives him a sort of knowing smirk. And a wink. Jesus. Anton almost fumbles the to-go cup and only just manages to save himself from pouring scalding hot coffee all down his front before he practically flees. His day unfolds in much the same way. He does his rounds of the park, constantly at war with his own brain, thinks briefly that maybe he should go to a gay bar, That'd clear things up, surely. Then remembers that he's bloody 30 and he's supposed to have all this figured out by now. Any blinking 21-year-old he'd meet in a club would not be looking to help him work it out. Is there even a gay bar in Wellington? He doesn't even know. He thinks about labels too. Tries a couple on in his mind, but none of them feel right, and he definitely can't make himself say them out loud, not even in the solitude of the park. Straight doesn't feel quite right either now, though. Feels stuffy somehow, rigid and unforgiving. He passes a couple out running together around lunchtime, and that doesn't help him at all because, yeah, she is objectively beautiful, long red hair swept up into a bouncy ponytail. But he has a head of fantastic, dark, springy curls and really great legs. It's not until he gets home that evening that he lets himself think about Viago. Viago, who hasn't texted him. No familiar good night or good morning text from the vampire, though Anton's not sure he really expected one. He waits until he's in the safe confines of his bedroom and then, like with the barista that morning, he lets himself imagine. Imagine going on a date with him, sitting close with him in the movie theatre, or maybe taking a drive down the coast, Viago's hand on his over the gear stick. He pictures Viago, bathed in moonlight as they walk along the shore hand in hand, the way they'd laugh together, the way the conversation would flow easily between them, the way it always does. He imagines Viago leaning in, the soft press of his lips against his own, that now familiar coolness that has never felt strange somehow. And then he tries to imagine more. Imagine bringing Viago back here to his place, kissing him more insistently. He imagines peeling him out of all that fussy lace and frills. And he's never seen Viago without at least 3 layers of clothes, but he imagines pressing kisses to delicate collarbones, running his hand across the soft expanse of his stomach. Perhaps there's a trail of dark hair there, leading down. He imagines long, elegant legs wrapped around his waist, the press of cool skin against hot. He hears Viago murmuring those soft, sweet German words against his ear. Anton comes with a grunt and the vampire's name on his lips. It's followed swiftly with a sob, and then the tears are flowing freely, and he can't even pin down why exactly, but he can't seem to stop them either. The week drags on in much the same way. Viago doesn't text, and Anton doesn't text him either. Wants to, but still doesn't really know what to say. Well, he knows he needs to apologise, but beyond that. The lads are walking on eggshells around him, keep finding excuses to pop by and spend time with him. He kind of wishes they wouldn't because his brain is still spiralling. It's exhausting. He's exhausted, mentally, from all the bloody self-searching he's been doing, and he's no closer to really having any answers about himself. In a fit of curiosity one night, he downloads Grindr. Spends about 10 minutes scrolling before he gets completely overwhelmed and mildly terrified and deletes the whole thing again. On Friday night, the lads descend on him once more. Though it's planned this time, at least. They're all dressed up in their smartest shirts and jeans. The mingled scents of their aftershaves are almost headache-inducing, but Anton's determined to stay positive, because tonight is Nathan's stag do. They're all pre-gaming in the living room, a practice which Anton doesn't wholly agree with, not because he supports the idea of getting drunk whilst paying top dollar in the club, but because the lads hardly need any encouragement and generally they can afford just the right amount of drinks to leave them buzzed, but not about to cause too much trouble. He's not being a party pooper tonight, though, so he keeps quiet and tries his best to keep the disapproving looks to a minimum. So, Anton? Nathan stammers, and the rest of the lads fall suddenly silent in a way that can only mean this has been hashed out between them already. Yeah, mate? I just wanted to make sure you're going to be all right tonight, you know, because, He looks a little desperately around at the others. nobody comes to his rescue. Well, it's just we kind of already invited the vamps tonight. Ah, right. Yeah, he should probably have anticipated this. I mean, Stu can probably text Nick, Nathan rushes to add, and he can tell the vamps not to come if that'd... No. Anton cuts him off. Nah, honestly, it's fine, mate. It is not fine. His heart is racing, and his stomach is squirming at the possibility of seeing Viago, and it is nerves, yeah, but it's also something else. Something he can't quite be sure isn't excitement. Anton situates himself at the bar, occupies his mind with ordering the drinks, tries to keep track of who's drinking what and how many they've had, doesn't give in to the instinct to keep checking the entrance, hasn't really allowed himself to think about what he'll do when Viago walks in the door. In the end, he knows when the vampires arrive from the way the lads stiffen around him, the way they share nervous glances and won't quite meet Anton's gaze. Anton takes a deep breath, steadies himself, tries to summon some kind of words, an apology or an explanation or just something. But when he turns, thinking he's as ready as he'll ever be, Viago isn't amongst them. There's Vlad and Deacon glaring back at him, and Nick already beelining for Stu's side, but no Viago. No one offers an explanation, and the expressions on Vlad and Deacon's faces tell him clearly that questions will not be welcome, that he can ask about their flatmate at his own risk. Anton turns his back to the bar, pulls out his phone, turns it in his hands a few times, deliberating, before he gives in to the urge and opens the chat with Viago. The last text from the vampire glares up at him, judgmental like a knife in the gut.
Good morning, meine Liebe. I hope the moon was kind to you last night. With a heart emoji.
Anton takes a deep breath, tries to summon a little courage from somewhere, and types out his own message. Hey, V. I'm really sorry for what happened, and I know we need to talk, but, well, if you want to come out tonight, I can leave. I don't mind. I don't want to be the reason you're stuck at home. He hits send, then sets the phone down on the bar. Picks it up again. Puts it down. Turns it over. Taps the screen. He tries not to stare at it, but doesn't think he takes a proper breath for the next half an hour or so, waiting for a response that doesn't come. Doesn't really register his surroundings, doesn't notice the lads coming and going for drinks, isn't really aware of the club around him at all. Not until a soft, lilting voice beside him says,
"Hello, Anton."
Anton inhales a greedy, desperate breath as he turns, the faintest trace of the richy, loamy scent reaching him through all the disgusting smells of the club. Viago looks cold, a little stiff and a little distant, but there's something in his eyes, something Anton can't place. "Hey, mate," he offers a little tentatively. "Sugar, he's so beautiful." Anton had almost forgotten. His mind must have dulled the image it held of him this past week, too beautiful to hold on to. But he also looks tired, a little drawn, paler than usual, almost grey. There are shadows beneath those beautiful eyes. Did you want me to go?" he asks, suddenly remembering his offer. "I don't mind."
"No,"
Viago says a little sadly.
"That is not necessary."
He looks out over the club, gaze settling on the lads out on the dance floor.
"I will go and congratulate Nathan," he says, and then he's walking away again.
It takes more willpower than Anton would care to admit not to follow him. He watches as Viago is swallowed up by the dance floor, as he reaches the rest of the pack, and a slow smile grows on his face as he talks and dances with them.
"You hurt him badly, Wolf," Vladislav says, appearing beside him. "I wanted to kill you for it, but Viago insisted I not."
Anton doesn't really know what to say to that. He is not taking care of himself, Vlad goes on. He stays in his room almost all the time. He is not eating. We even brought him home a delicious virgin the other night, and he refused to drink from her. Shit, Anton breathes. Yes, Vlad agrees. Fix it, Wolf, or we will put you down. Anton turns to argue that he doesn't know how, has no idea how to fix this mess he's made, but Vladislav is already disappearing back into the crowd. Anton keeps his post at the bar. The lads check in with him every time they come to the bar for drinks. He does his best to plaster on a smile to make it look like he's having a good time, but he declines their offers to join them on the dance floor, because Viago is out there, dancing and laughing and smiling, and Anton doesn't want to intrude on that, doesn't want to dim that light, especially after what Vlad said, and the knowledge that Viago's been miserable all week, that he caused that. It's getting late and he's just wondering if he could slip away soon when the lads all descend on the bar for one last round. Anton gets it. Penance for being no fun tonight. He hands out the drinks, makes sure they've all got the right ones. And there's a little hiccup and a giggle. Anton hears it even with the noise of the club, his eyes instantly drawn to Viago lingering at the edge of the group. The vampire's smiling still, a soft, slightly giddy smile. His beautiful brown eyes are glassy, and there's a tiny smudge of blood in the corner of his mouth. There's something wrong with Anton's heart. It's seized in his chest at the mental image suddenly sprayed across the back of his eyelids, the image of Iago's body pressed close against some other faceless person, his mouth pressed to their throat, their blood flooding his veins, putting that light back under his skin that Anton had extinguished. Anton hasn't been drinking, but he suddenly feels sick. The room is spinning, and his wolf is snarling in his chest, and he needs to get out of there. Now. End of chapter. Death, Wish, Love by Booknobs and Broomsticks. Chapter 9. Anton's climbing into bed when his phone chimes. He did not sleep well at all when he got home from the club last night. It had taken him ages to settle down, and he's been bloody exhausted all day, so he's made himself a Horlicks, and he's going to get an early night, so he's rested before the wedding tomorrow. Yes, it is only 8 o'clock, but if he wants to have his hot malt drink and go to bed, he can, because he's a bloody grown-up. So yeah, he's just slipped under the duvet when his phone chimes and his heart twists a little uncomfortably in his chest as he sees it's from Viago.
Hello, Anton. You left the club in such a hurry last night. Please, will you let me know you are all right?
Anton takes a bit of a shaky breath and considers his response. What can he say, though? I didn't think the sight of you with someone else's blood on your lips would affect me like that. I was hurt you hadn't come to me. I wanted it to be me. I wanted it to be my blood. He sighs, giving up and typing out, I'm fine. Realizing that maybe sounds a bit shorter than he intended, he quickly adds, Thanks for checking. He's barely breathing as the little dots bounce while Viago types out his reply.
Thank you. I was worried about you.
Anton has secured himself a prime spot at the hotel bar. It's nothing particularly fancy, a solid 3 stars at best, on the outskirts of Wellington, but he still has no idea how the bride's family managed to book it so last minute for their wedding. Doesn't think he really wants to know. He's just happy it's not his house, and that there's a room booked under his name waiting for him upstairs once he's endured a respectable amount of this reception. He wriggles his shoulders a bit as he takes a sip from the brandy he's nursing. His shirt is a little tight across his shoulders and he wonders when the last time was that he wore it. Anton? Nathan G's voice asks from behind him. Yeah, mate, he says, turning to find Nathan standing beside some other bloke. He's around Anton's height, maybe another inch or so on him because of the boots he's wearing. His blonde hair looks soft, in that kind of artfully tousled way Anton can never quite pull off, and his chin is covered in scruff. There's a voice in his head that sounds weirdly like his ex-wife for a moment, telling him that if some regular person had to decide which of them was the werewolf, it would not be Anton. His wolf doesn't like that, stirs a bit restlessly in his chest, eager to assert some dominance. Have you met my friend Bill? Nathan stammers a bit, and Anton does his best to be a normal human and suppress the wolf's urges. Have now, he says, holding out his hand to shake Bill's. Nice to meet you, mate. Yeah, you too, Bill says, his voice a low, seductive rumble. Bastard. Bill's gay too, Nathan suddenly blurts, and Anton freezes, realizing exactly what's going on here. Bloody Nathan. Oh? Is about all that Anton can think to say whilst Bill chuckles sexily and murmurs. Yeah, I don't usually have a mate announce it like this, though. Ha, no, Anton manages. His hand is still engulfed in Bill's solid one. Bill's thumb is brushing back and forth against his skin. He can't think of a single thing to say, a single excuse to extract his hand or himself from this interaction. Then, rescue comes.
I am so sorry I am late, Liebling.
Viago's voice appears at his side, his hand wrapped around Antoine's arm, pulling it close to his chest and away from Bill's clutches, as he leans over to press a kiss to Anton's cheek. Viago's fingers slide down and thread between his own.
Traffic was murder,
he adds with a mischievous glint. Anton doesn't know what to say, hasn't really got a single thought in his head beyond Viago, and he's here. He's vaguely aware of Bill saying something else, reaching out to shake Viago's hand too, and he has to bite down to keep a possessive growl from slipping out. I didn't think he'd come, Anton mutters eventually.
I keep my promises,
Viago says softly, eyes huge and so unfairly beautiful. I'm so sorry, V. Anton exhales in a rush, hopes Bill has pissed off because Anton's already forgotten all about him.
I didn't mean to hurt you. I know, Liebling,
Viago offers, but Anton isn't done yet. I've had some stuff to sort out. A lot of stuff, he tries to explain. Doesn't think he's really pulling it off, but Viago hums in understanding anyway.
And how is that going?
He asks. Yeah, Anton breathes. Think I'm getting there. He squeezes Viago's hand meaningfully and tries for a tentative smile. Viago grins back, fangs popping, and Anton's chest aches with the urge to kiss him, wants to lean in right now and press all his apologies and explanations into Viago's beautiful mouth. They're probably not there yet, though. Should probably talk more first.
Would you like to dance, little wolf?
Viago asks, and Anton thrills at the use of the nickname again, is so buoyed by the way everything feels almost back to normal between them that he agrees. Anton and Viago are quickly swallowed up by the crowd on the dance floor. The lads swarm around them, giddy with the novelty of having their alpha out there amongst them. And Anton's not a dancer, not by any means, but he bops away and wriggles his hips, and it's not long until he's laughing too, and mucking about, and just generally having a great time. Viago's grinning back at him, and their hands keep bumping against one another, and that just makes Anton grin wider until they're stuck in a positive feedback loop, grinning like fools at each other. Anton can't remember when he's ever felt so happy. Eventually, there's a break in the music. The upbeat, poppy tunes pause to make way for something slower, softer. Viago's looking at him differently now. The smile is still there, but it's tentative all of a sudden. Uncertain. And Anton's seen that expression on his face far too frequently, been the cause of it too often. He reaches out, fingers hooking around Viago's slender ones and pulling him closer,
He spreads his other hand against Viago's waist, just as the vampire slides his free hand up Anton's arm to rest at his shoulder. "Is this okay?" he murmurs, as they move close enough for their chests to touch. "Yeah," Viago exhales. They sway together, moving closer, incrementally, with each tiny step, feet shuffling against the polished floor, until Anton's cheek is brushing against the cool skin of Viago's. "I've missed you, V," he admits softly.
"I've missed you too, Liebling," Viago echoes.
Anton leans in closer, allows himself to savor Viago's scent and the solid press of his body. "What does that mean?" he asks. Viago hums questioningly. "Liebling," Anton repeats, tongue a little clunky around the unfamiliar syllables. "You say it all the time, but I don't know what it means." "Well," Viago says, and he sounds a little off again.
"It is just a term of endearment."
"Well, yeah, I thought so, but does it not translate?" "Hmm," Viago considers.
"Not exactly. I suppose some might take it to mean darling or sweetheart."
Anton's heart does a strange little squirmy wriggle in his chest. "But that's not how you mean it?"
"No," Viago says. "Not exactly. I suppose to me it would mean favourite."
It takes a moment for that to sink in, a warm sweetness seeming to drip through Anton like honey. "Favourite?" he asks, and Viago hums in confirmation.
"Favourite what?"
Anton asks, tone more playful now. "Favourite alpha? Favourite werewolf? Favourite fake boyfriend?" Viago chuckles, pressing his forehead into Anton's shoulder for a moment as he does.
"Would favourite human be all right?"
he asks more sincerely. Anton's heart squirms harder.
"Yeah," he breathes. "I think I'd like that."
They're quiet for a moment then, leaning into each other and enjoying the familiarity of each other's presence. Viago's fingers are curling into the ends of Anton's hair, and it's taking more energy than he'd care to admit, not to groan or whine. His hand is splayed at the small of Viago's back, holding him as close as he can, whilst the fingers of their joined hands remain intertwined and clutched between them.
"Why did you leave the club so suddenly the other night?"
Viago suddenly asks, though he does so softly, gently even. Anton stammers. "Busted." But he's being honest with Viago now, he's decided. No more holding things back. No more letting him come to the wrong conclusions.
"I didn't like seeing that you'd fed from someone else. Didn't expect it to affect me like that, honestly."
"Oh, did you want it to be you, Liebling?"
Viago practically purrs. "You wanted me to claim you?"
"No," Anton growls. "I wanted to claim you. I wanted it to be my blood running through your veins. I wanted to be the one making you feel alive."
"Scheiße, Anton,"
Viago groans, pulling his face back slightly so Anton can see the darkness in his eyes, the hunger in his expression. And Anton can't really help it. Nobody would blame him, he's sure, because before he's even really thought it through, he's crushing his lips against Viago's, devouring the startled sound he makes until it transforms into something needier, something desperate. The music and the dance floor fall away until it's just them, just Viago's cool tongue sliding against his own. Viago's fingers twisting into his hair, Viago stealing the very breath from his lungs. Eventually, Anton has to pull back, lungs burning to gulp down much-needed oxygen.
"Do you have a room upstairs, my Liebe?"
Viago asks, a little breathless himself.
"Yeah,
Anton manages to gasp. Viago bites gently at his bottom lip, seems to be literally chewing over which words to say next, so Anton does his best to steady himself. Saves Viago from asking by adding, "Want to go up and see if you can't help me figure out a few more things?" "Yes." Viago releases a big relieved breath, his shoulders visibly drop. "I would like that very much, Liebling." Anton takes his hand, interlacing their fingers once more, and leads Viago off across the dance floor. End of chapter. Death, Wish, Love by Book Knobs and Broomsticks. Chapter 10. Anton's on him before they've even properly crossed the threshold to his hotel room. Doesn't want to leave any room for doubt in Viago's mind that he wants this, that he wants him. He's pressing in, determined to swallow every needy little sound that escapes Viago. Wants to collect them all, keep them all for himself, to relive in the long hours between sunrise and sunset. They stumble across a room together, hands scrabbling for purchase against each other, until the backs of Viago's knees hit the bed. "Liebling," Viago pulls away to gasp, and that, the knowledge that he doesn't even need to breathe and still sounds just as breathless as Anton, sends a fresh wave of heat flooding through him.
We can take this slow. I know it is new."
"Nah," Anton shakes his head, forehead still pressed to Viago's. "Nope, I'll figure it out."
"Fuck,"
Viago mutters.
"Are you sure?"
"I'm sure," Anton says, and then his mouth is on Viago's again, his hands on the vampire's hips, pulling him impossibly closer until he can feel the hard length of Viago pressing against him through their trousers. The wolf growls in his chest at the knowledge he did that. Viago whimpers and rolls his hips, and then his hands are moving, long, elegant fingers releasing each of the buttons on Anton's shirt and tugging it free from his waistband. Anton wants to return the favour, but he doesn't know where to start with the delicate little clasps of Viago's waistcoat or the frothy spill of lace at his throat. Would hate to ruin any of it.
"Gute,"
Viago mutters as he pushes the shirt back off his shoulders, slides cool hands over the heated skin of his biceps, his chest, drags his nails through the hair there, sending a shudder through him.
"Look at you, little wolf. You are delicious."
"V," Anton manages to grunt. Viago hums, seemingly in agreement, and then, before he can quite comprehend what's happening, Anton is flat on his back on the bed. It takes a moment for him to recognize what's happened, for his brain to reorient this new perspective which Viago must have moved him to. Frick, why is that so hot?
"Gee,"
Anton starts, but Viago cuts him off with a hand over his mouth. He's straddling him now, knees either side of Anton's hips, hovering above him.
"Ah, ah,"
Viago scolds, shaking his head.
"Careful, Liebling."
Then he's leaning down, replacing his hand with his mouth again, and, oh, this is different somehow, kissing horizontally. The cool cotton sheets beneath him, the heavy press of Viago's body above him. Anton needs more, hips stuttering up against Viago's. Viago spreads kisses across his jaw, down, hovers over his pulse point as though savouring the flutter of it against his lips.
"You can,"
Anton rasps, voice like gravel with the way he's trying to suppress how much he wants this, how much his wolf wants to be claimed. "If you like." Viago considers, presses another lingering kiss, allows his fangs to scrape against the skin, not quite enough to break it, but enough to send a violent shudder running through him and pull a groan from somewhere deep inside him.
"Not here,"
Viago hums, and then his kisses begin to move again.
He trails them down Anton's throat, across his shoulders, as though Viago's trying to taste each of his freckles, further down over his chest, diverting to place mind-melting, open-mouthed kisses to each of his nipples and drawing desperate gasps from him, down across the spread of tummy, following the trail of hair there until he meets the waistband of Anton's trousers.
"Is this all right?"
he asks, peering back up at Anton through his lashes as his fingers deftly release the button. Anton nods, the power of speech apparently lost to him somewhere along the way there. Viago eases down the zip, pulling his trousers down his thighs but leaving his underwear in place. They don't even make it past his knees before Viago is pressing his face into the crease of his thigh and inhaling deeply.
"Delicious,"
he exhales with a groan before mouthing his way up the hard line of Anton's cock through the cotton of his boxers.
"V, please,"
Anton whines, though he's not sure he knows what he's pleading for. Viago seems to know at least, his fingers curling around the waistband of Anton's underwear and carefully pulling them off with his trousers. He's back in an instant, licking a broad, cool stripe up the underside of Anton's cock. Anton arches up off the bed with a groan so loud the room next door must be able to hear, maybe even the room across the hall.
"Still all right, Liebling?"
he murmurs, close enough that his lips catch against the tip. "Yeah, yes," Anton pants, but as Viago leans closer, parting his lips to take him in, a thought flashes through Anton's mind. "Wait," he cries, and before the panic in Viago's eyes can grow into anything more, he asks, "What about your fangs?" Viago just smirks at him, and then he's taking Anton into his mouth, and he can feel the press of fangs where they're safely tucked behind Viago's lips, but somehow that proximity of danger, the trust he has in Viago right now, only serves to make the whole thing even more overwhelming, because Viago is sinking down, 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 impossibly taking the whole of Anton in until he can feel the press of the vampire's throat around him, until Viago's nose is tucked into the thatch of gingery hair at the base, and then he meets Anton's gaze, and realization hits again. Viago doesn't need to breathe. Fuck. "Oh, shit, V," he manages to stutter. Viago bats his eyes at him, but there's no way he can look innocent with his lips stretched around Anton's cock. Fuck, this is going to be over very quickly. Anton squirms in some kind of poor attempt to pull away or find some kind of respite from the rush of pleasure. Viago just digs his fingers into Anton's hips to hold him still, hard enough to bruise, probably. Hopefully.
"V, please," he begs. "I can't, I..."
His thighs are trembling and the blood is rushing in his ears, and now is when Viago decides to move. Drags his way painfully slowly back up and off Anton's cock with an obscene slurp as he swirls his tongue around the leaking tip. It's all Anton can do not to finish there and then. Anton's still grasping shuddery breaths and trying to regain some semblance of control when Viago's moving again, away from his cock this time, pressing kisses down into the crease of his hip, down onto the sensitive skin of his inner thigh. He drags his fangs lightly across the tissue-thin skin there, eliciting another gasp from Anton.
"Can I bite you here, mein Lieber?"
he asks softly, the implication clear. That of course Anton can say no, that he won't be upset. Won't mind at all if Anton's changed his mind.
"Yes," he exhales in a rush. "Please, V."
For Viago's fangs are already pressing down, Anton groans again as pain flares sharp and hot, but it quickly morphs into the sound of pleasure as the pain is replaced by the sensation of blood throbbing through his veins and Viago's strong fingers digging into his flesh. He can feel Viago sucking, pulling at the wound he's created, taking mouthful after mouthful after mouthful. Anton's just starting to feel a little bit floaty when the vampire pulls off. He lathes his tongue across the puncture wounds, but Anton knows his wolf is already on it, healing the hurt. Fuck, Viago. Delicious little swearwolf. Viago practically purrs. His voice sounds all hot and syrupy. Oh, fuck off, Anton huffs a laugh, then tugs limply at Viago's shoulders. Come up here.
I taste like blood, Liebling,
Viago says apologetically, though he moves back up Anton's body so they're face to face again. Yeah, but it's my blood, Anton growls and pulls him in for a filthy kiss. Growls, a primal possessive sound he doesn't think he's ever made before at the taste of himself in Viago's mouth, breaks away only to demand, take off your clothes. Anton tries to pull him back in for another kiss, but he finds Viago immovable. Fuck, the hidden strength in his delicate frame, strength enough to overpower a werewolf. Viago's gazing down at him expectantly, one eyebrow quirked. Please? Anton tries. Good boy, Viago murmurs. Oh, fuck. Anton releases some kind of wholly embarrassing mewling sound at that, like a bloody cat or something. Not an alpha werewolf. But Viago's just chuckling and climbing off the bed to undress. He takes his time, not necessarily in a sexy way, but because he carefully removes each item of clothing, every layer, folds it gently before setting it aside on a chair. And okay, maybe he's not being deliberately sexy, but that doesn't mean it's not doing something for Anton. Because, yeah, he sees other blokes naked all the time, practically surrounded by them every full moon, but this is Viago, an unknown quantity, despite all Anton's imagining. And with each layer of clothing he removes, a brand new stretch of soft, tawny skin is revealed. He pushes himself up on his elbows to get a better view. First to go is the frilly lace at his throat, revealing a long, slender neck that Anton wants to lick. He doesn't think he's ever seen Viago's throat before, and even that seems somehow almost unbearably intimate. Next to go is his waistcoat, and then his shirt, and now there's a whole new expanse of skin to dwell on. The soft, slight swell of his stomach dusted with dark hair. The smooth lines of his biceps that hide that thrilling supernatural strength. Strong enough to pin down an alpha, to throw him around a bit. And then, legs. Long, slender legs. Thighs Anton wants to bite. Can understand why Viago chose to bite him there. And then, finally, Viago is bare. And Anton is speechless again, for an entirely different reason. Shit. The word leaks out on an exhale. He swallows, tries to form more words.
Everything all right?
Viago asks, looking so sheepish and fragile now. Anton swallows again, clears his throat and gives it another go. You're so fucking beautiful, he says. If Viago could blush, Anton's pretty sure he would be. He tips his chin down, biting his bottom lip and looking all coy.
You flatter me, Liebling,
he mumbles. Come here, Anton breathes, and even he can hear the desire laced through his tone. Viago takes the few steps to the bed and climbs back up, straddling Anton's lap again, and shit, he doesn't know where to put his hands, wants to touch everywhere at once. Settles for Viago's thighs before changing his mind and sliding his palms up and around his narrow waist instead, urging him closer. Tell me what you want, he murmurs, lips reaching up to find Viago's again. want to make you feel good. I always feel good with you, Viago replies, closing the distance to offer him a soft, chaste kiss. You know what I mean, Anton grumbles against his lips. I know, Liebling, he hums, and then slides one soft, cool hand down Anton's arm to intertwine their fingers. He guides their joined hands between them and uses them to press their cocks together. Oh God, fuck. The sound Anton releases is utterly pornographic, but it's all right because Viago makes his delicious keening sound as well, and it only spurs Anton on. He tightens his grip a little, twists his hand as he strokes them together in a smooth, firm motion. Like this? He asks, though the look on Viago's face is clear enough. Yeah, fuck, Viago grunts, thrusting up into their joined hand and creating the most delicious friction between them. Viago plunges his fingers into Anton's hair, tipping his head back so he can drag him into a sloppy, filthy kiss. He's not going to last, not like this, tells Viago as much, groans the words directly into the vampire's mouth. It's all right, Viago rasps back. I've got you. Let go, little wolf. Come for me. And that's it. Anton's vision is whiting out. He can barely hear his own cry of Iago's name over the rushing in his ears. Is only half aware of the hot streaks painting his belly. When he comes back to himself, his hand has fallen away, and Viago is working himself, eyes raking over Anton's body with so much heat he can feel it burning. No, he growls, batting Viago's hand away and replacing it with his own. Let me. Viago keens, a high-pitched whine, and grips both of Anton's shoulders deliciously hard. Oh, please, Liebling, he begs. Please. That's it, V. Let me see you. Viago comes with a shout, something German Anton has no hope of repeating, especially not with the way his head throws back and his back arches as he too paints Anton's stomach, every muscle pulling taut before he slumps forward, forehead pressed to Anton's. Beautiful, Anton breathes, but if Viago hears, he doesn't respond. Anton scoops him up, one palm under his perfect peachy ass, the other holding firm around his shoulders, and lifts him carefully, twists so that he can deposit Viago on the mattress beside him, pulls him in close, tucking his head against Anton's shoulder. He only knows Viago's back with him when he lifts his hand and drags one elegant finger through the mess of their mixed spend on Anton's stomach. Anton watches, breathless, as Viago sucks the finger into his mouth with a salacious moan. What does it taste like? Anton asks. Viago swipes his finger through the mess again, brings it to Anton's mouth this time, slides it in past his lips when Anton parts them. He growls a bit at the combined taste of them both, something possessive flaring inside him. He gets a bit carried away with the licking and sucking, gliding his tongue greedily around the digit, making Viago huff out a laugh. I think you might like men, Liebling. Anton huffs a laugh too as he releases Viago's finger. I think I like you. That's good, because I like you too. Viago smiles softly back at him. As you should. You're supposed to be my boyfriend, aren't you? Your fake boyfriend? Viago asks, that sheepish uncertainty back on his face. Nah, Anton says with a hopeful smile. I think real boyfriend, don't you? I would like that very much, Liebling. Viago breathes, and then he's reaching up, closing the distance between their lips with a sweet kiss. You want to go back to the party? Anton hums against his lips when they finally pull apart. Of course, Viago declares, looking scandalized Anton would think otherwise. I've got a bouquet to catch. I don't know how many times. End of fic.
don't know, but when it happened, my heart started to go.
With the notes of And They Lived Happily Ever After. Hope you all enjoyed. Well, I certainly did.